The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Now, welcome to High School and Beyond. Phil and Tricia Goose are here to lead us in this session. They have provided the entirety of their five children's education at home. Tricia was the kids' teacher until 2014 when she began her practice as a registered midwife. At this time, Phil took over the daily oversight of the kids' education as he continued to run their farm. At that time, their oldest child was in the 11th grade and their youngest was in grade 5. As of 2022, all their kids are still talking to them, so it seems like all survived without too many scars. So please welcome Phil and Tricia. Oh, you're using this one?
Thank you for that kind introduction. I would imagine that some of you in this room already know Trish from a professional experience. My claim to fame is that I'm Trish's husband. Oftentimes when we're out grocery shopping, Trish stays in the truck because when we go into the superstore, she's caught in one aisle or another talking to somebody, showing them the results of their time together that is now growing up. Anyway, enough of that for now. I'd imagine that most of you in this room are either in the middle of high school education for your children or coming to the end of it or thinking about doing it. And we'll mostly leave time for specific questions from you that we can try to bring some of our experience to and encourage you in that area. We'll just begin with a brief overview of our experience, and then we'll just see how the little bit of time we have together progresses. So as from the introduction, we educated our kids at home the whole way through. Before we even were married, we had discussed home education, and it was something we just felt the Lord put in our hearts to do. So we never ever considered anything else. As the years have gone by, and we consider that our oldest is married and don't really know when they might begin to have children, but we're looking at the world now and thinking it's essential to homeschool your kids if you want to give them a godly worldview. That's just our perspective. Others would obviously challenge that. I think most of you guys would agree with me because you're in this room. And there's many reasons now for home education that we didn't have. We really wanted to do it. Like I said, the Lord put it in our heart, and we have no regrets whatsoever. There was many challenges along the way, and they were all, it was worth it. It really was. The interaction that you all have with your kids day to day is something that has eternal value, not just temporal. And so keep on going. Like don't give up. You're all well able to educate your kids through the entirety of their years before they jump into that next season of life. When Trish decided to she also did her midwifery education at home. She did it online through a college in the States, and it was something that as she basically started at the same time she started educating our kids, and they watched her do her education while they did theirs, and she was able to, after many challenges with a distance education, actually begin to practice midwifery, which some of you in this room are very thankful for. The benefit of having Trish as there for them in those formative years can never be overstated. Like I, you know, for those of you in this room who are husbands and fathers who have a direct role or an indirect role, regardless, a mom brings something to the education of a child that a father shouldn't have to. If you have to, you do it, right? But so Trish was there up until 2014 and really gave the kids such a solid foundation that I was able to jump in and continue their education without, without destroying them, without making them want to run to the high school education or that kind of thing. And each one of us is able to do it in the season of life we're in. I was running still am running a layer farm for friends of ours who live out of province, and it was basically more than a full-time job. We also have our own farmyard a couple miles away where we got chickens and a house that we rent out. So very, very busy. And it probably took me a year to sort of transition out of just, okay, kids, mom's done all the preparation. You know what to do. Go do it, and I'll look and just tell me that you did it, right? And it after a year, I realized that our son, who's in the middle, was leading our next daughter, youngest daughter, astray because, well, you didn't really have to do the work. You just had to go to the answer book, part of the book, and write down the answers and say, Dad, I got it. Well, it backfired on him too, because then I got more serious and he had to redo his science the whole year. So he was very upset, and even years later, he brought that up and was quite adamant that that was unfair. So it's been a journey for us. I'll give you just a little brief overview of how there's no set way to do it, in the fact that our oldest, grade 11, you know, I think she started talking before she came out of the womb. She just articulate. She published a novel at 15 years old, I think, self-published, and has always been great with linguistics and also great with math, gathering eggs at 5 years old, right? Two in each hand. She was sort of on her own and doing her own thing. Our next daughter, she just wanted to do it. The next three, well, it was different. And so for those three, I really had to make time for them, right? And it wasn't necessarily easy, but we found a way to do it. And after about a year, all three of those kids were doing all the same science. And there's like 4 years, no, five, yeah, 4 years between them, right? So they were, I would do science with all of them at the same time. They were all in their own math. And then, you know, so there was no specific way that we, you know, there wasn't any curriculum necessarily we followed. And I tailored it as we went with a lot of input from Trish all along the way. So we made it through. Our eldest went on to Red River College for creative communications and is now a marketing coordinator, working from home, blissfully married, like literally blissfully married. And our next one is in Australia right now, working. She's been in the service industry and cooking and all that kind of thing. She went concurrent with her grade 12. She went to Louis Riel School of whatever, baking and pastry, and did that concurrent with her grade 12. Our son right now is out in Grand Prairie. He's got a class 1 driver's license. He went out there hauling logs this winter, and now he's back out there working for a farmer, seeding fields and doing that kind of thing. The two younger ones had both applied for U of M, and then COVID hit, and they asked themselves, what do we want out of life? They didn't come to me and ask me. I didn't try to guide them. They came to me and said, Dad, we've thought about it, and we want kids. We want families. And one was ready to go in to pursue a medical, and the other into law, and they both said, you know, we're not going to be able to go anyway because we're not vaccinated, right? And we won't do that, but the way that the world's going, why are we going to put all this time into this education when what we really, really want is to have families? So that's where we're at. Our second youngest daughter is now, you know, working as a going into Winnipeg every day for Fast Brothers getting parts, and the youngest is still helping me on the farm. And so as far as the details of how do you get your kids, what are they going to need when they make that step from out of your nest of home education into the further education if they're going to require it? Trish is going to now take over, and I can just play my role as her husband.
Well, let me tell you, if I can stand up here and hold a microphone and talk to you guys can homeschool your kids through high school, because this is the most nerve-wracking thing. Public speaking is not high on my love list, let's put it that way. So I hope today that you guys feel free to ask questions. So I know they said to turn your cell phones off, but if you're like me and you have a list of questions, you need to open up your phone to look at your questions, feel free. I won't be offended. I feel like I don't have a ton of direct information to say this is how you do it, but I would love to share some of the things that I've learned. Because if your life can be easier than mine, I'm all for that. The first time I made a transcript, I was probably, it was a reflective activity. and it was a scramble. Because although I kept records of everything that we did, because I submitted the forms, the nitty-gritty of what my kids did wasn't there. Yes, they did math, you see, calculus and all of this. But when someone is applying to a college or a university, that college or university doesn't know what math you see, like epsilon or calculus or trigonometry, if they've met those requirements, because they don't know what math you see is. They know, do they have grade 12 math in a Manitoba government-instituted school? So I had to go back and sort of look at the cover page of everything my kids did to say, okay, so they did all of these things. So I quickly learned that doing a transcript reflectively was much harder than doing it sort of every year. So what I mean by that is you don't have to make a transcript every year, but when your kids hit that grade 8, grade 9, what you're doing through high school, try to find a way that works for you to keep really good notes, whether it's a file on your computer or it's, I had a box because I'm not tech savvy. I have enough ladies here that I know that can really attest to that. So I had a box, a little file folder, and if they volunteered for X number of hours, I put it on a piece of paper and it went in that box. If they did a science project and we can like took part in our homeschooling group, I put it in a box. I wouldn't recommend that. I would recommend that you find a little bit better of a way to do it. But if you keep track at the end of grade 9, I'm giving them A's or B's, or I'm giving them a percentage for a grade, find a way to just keep track of that so that when you sit down with your child, who at the end of high school is not a child anymore, they're an adult, hopefully, and it's their goal, hopefully, to be going to university or to college so they can help you work through their dream. I negotiated marks with one of my daughters because she thought she deserved 99s in everything because she was the smartest person on earth. I did have to rein in some of her marks because I could prove to her that calculus was her Achilles heel. My next daughter, another daughter, was like, oh, I hated that. I was terrible at that. I'm like, are you kidding? I learned from you this. So I had to encourage her to not be so hard on herself, and I could go back through tests and prove that she had really good marks. I also wasn't a tester. My kids really only experienced testing when they came to school with Phil. I was way more, I want to see if they can learn, if they can prove to me that they know this on a day-to-day basis. I don't care if they pass a test or fail a test. When they get to university, they're going to be tested and it's on them. So anyways, my next encouragement would be to find a way when you're grading your child, be open to changing your mind. You might, at the beginning of grade 9, think that percentages are all that matter, but know what your percentages are. Like if your child has to have like almost a perfect project or a perfect test to get 99%, like yes, you can add up how many right and how many wrong on a test, but on their day-to-day work, or does their attitude, their are they incentivized to learn on their own? I had a daughter who formulas were not a strong suit. So every year at the beginning of the school year, she would photocopy all the formulas and put them at the beginning of her book so that she didn't have to waste time going through the textbook to find the formula for something. I don't think that's cheating. I think it's working smart. So for that girl, I would have probably extended a higher grade because she showed initiative and she showed dedication to her own education. So these are just some things I've learned. You don't have to do it the same way as I did. And with my son, it was clear that he was probably going into more of an apprenticeship type career. So whether he ever got 99% on math didn't mean that he didn't know math. This kid could blow up a snow machine engine and fix it, have it running and blow it up again and be pleased as punch that he got to fix it again. I don't understand that. Does not look fun to me, does not sound fun to me, but he showed initiative in other areas, so I had to find a way to pull all of this together and put it into a transcript. So, if there's questions, I think now's probably a good time. I don't know that I'll be able to answer your questions. Phil might be able to, but feel free. One more thing, sorry. There's lots of free transcripts out there. Like HSLDA, their website has some free ones, and all the different, there's many different websites, but play with them, because lots of them are US focused, so there's lots of grade point average and different things that you might not want to have on your transcript depending on where your child's applying. Always, there's an amazing button that I've learned on your computer. It's called Save As. It's amazing. It saves your life. And then you don't have 41 copies of a transcript because you've pressed save. It's a little bit more of a live link. But anyways, so by the time we got to number 5, it's easy for me now, it's easy to find her transcript on our computer. I don't know what I did, but I named my son's transcript differently than I named my first two daughters. And this spring he needed a transcript. If I didn't waste an hour on that computer trying to find his transcript because I didn't name it, like I had to open every single document to see which one was his transcript, because I had put all these notes under transcript. Oh, it was horrible. So try to save yourself some work by not making mistakes that I did. But enjoy the journey, and feel free to ask questions. Unless, are you going to add something?
If you do have a question now, just raise your hand or go ahead.
Okay, so the question was, did we have a name of a school on our transcript? That's correct, right? I didn't. We put our children's name and that they were educated at home. Some people say that sounds snobby when you say educated at home, but my kids were educated. They didn't go to school, but they were educated at home, and I was really proud of that, so...
Did you include all grades between 9 and 12
I did all the way from 9, like, so I started grade 12, grade 11, 10, and 9. Yep.
So most places that you're gonna, your kids might apply to, well, a university or a college, they are going to want an equivalency for a Manitoba high school education, which is starts grade 9 and goes to grade 12. And so it's essential if they're going to go on to further education or even on a job resume, right? It looks good to be able to prove what you did and how you did it. Right now, like our kids, well, the three, old, well, the four, it seems it can be totally unrelated. But when you have, well, home educated and raised on a farm comes out in your resume, it's like you go to the top. So, and they're excelling wherever they're at. So the home education thing nowadays is recognized even in U of M, U of W, different places as kids that are going to come in and be dedicated to their education. It's obviously, there's also the stories that people can tell you that it's the opposite, but it is a good thing. And so just to put home educated is on their transcript is a, is something that is probably going to benefit them. Yeah, they're just looking for a transcript. There may be different requirements for, you know, if they're going to try to, if you say you want to go to, our girls were going to go to the U of M, and we thought maybe they're going to have to do a bunch of things. But at the end of the day, they were just going to kick them into U1 and you know, go for it.
One of our daughters, when she was applying to Red River College, part of the application process was a portfolio. And so she was responsible for that. They originally, when she applied, told her that she would probably have to do a math exam and an English literacy exam. Once she submitted her portfolio, they didn't ever bring that up again. But her portfolio was part of the application process. So far, when my daughter went into baking and pastry, they didn't make her test, and the Red River College didn't make them test, and neither did the apprentice. Like, an apprenticeship so far hasn't, that I've heard, hasn't asked. I have a friend who has a daughter that went to University of Winnipeg, and she was originally thinking of doing nursing. She did go into teaching. She did do a math exam, so, but that was specific once she got accepted. No, it was just, I think they just wanted to make sure that that she actually had done some math. And, like, honestly, the daughter said it was probably not even a grade 10 level. And she was quite nervous and studied and, you know, sort of went through all of her formulas, thinking, like, oh, my goodness, the Pythagorean theorem and da-da-da-da-da. And it was really sort of just logical questions. And once she did that, there was no more talk of testing for her either.
So as the years progressed and we were considering our kids moving on to a further education, I really felt a lot of pressure. Like, I've got to do this for them because I was so involved in their, well, okay, that might not be totally true. I was involved in making sure they did their work. But truly, our kids educated themselves. We encouraged them and gave them guidelines and kept them doing it. You know, Trish said that I did, I didn't do any testing. And it sort of caught me because, so Anna and Zara, our two youngest, then decided, well, we were going to go to U of M. And they were both done grade 12, all their requirements. Zara was 15. And was she already 15? Yeah, I guess she was 15. And so it was like, you are not going to university at 16 years old. Like, there's just no way. Like, 15 and a half. Like, I'm not doing it, right? Oh, my goodness, I got a lot of guns, but not enough. Like, so I... Oh, that's all right. Anyway, paintball guns. Yeah. So what we did then was said, okay, well, why don't you guys do first year university program, do it at home. So they did advanced biology, advanced chemistry, and calculus. And so that was their year. And then I went, oh, guys, you're going to have to learn how to test, right? Like, I haven't done any of that because I don't believe in it. But where you're going to go, they do believe in it. So, okay, here we go. So they did. And so here's what they were doing. They were doing every chapter and every question in all those textbooks. So the first time it came to a test, I said, like, you guys, you got to ace this. Like, get studying. Well, whatever course it was, they're getting like 60 and 55 or whatever. And I'm going, girls. And then I look up and they're in tears. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's go for a Costco run. Hortons, Tim Hortons, anybody? I'm sorry for making you cry. And I had to rethink it. And then I went, okay, back in, yeah, I did grade 13 back in the Ice Age. And like we did like three questions in chapter one. And you know what I mean? You just skimmed the book. And so I went, girls, no, it's all right. Like, no, you're learning everything. How could you ever remember all that? If you had a teacher, they'd be saying, now, question 1A, you really want to know the answer to that one because they're trying to make you pass, right? So I had to back right off. And then I realized even in university, they're going to mark on the curve, right? You know, if the highest mark is 50, they become a 90, right? They just add 40 to everybody. Like, that's what they do. Right. So I had to totally rethink it and back off of them with the testing. And so the only reason, though, that I did the testing was because it was a skill they were going to need if they moved on. That was it. Right. Now, some of you, if you incorporate it all the way through, right on. Right. That's the beauty of home education. We look at the individual and say what's going to benefit you the most. So anyway, I was feeling a great pressure. And part of that was the testing thing then, right? But even with Abigail going to Red River, once she got into it, like she took a year or 2 years off, a year. So in that year, she matured a lot. And I also, like, let my hands go over a lot, right? Because I wasn't in charge of her education. And then she did it all, right? She went to the interviews. She was the one that sold herself to them. And they looked at her character. She did the portfolio, like Trish said. She had to do a writing component. She was given a picture, and she had to, yeah, we're fine. We can go to 3 o'clock. And she went downstairs on a Sunday afternoon, came up about 45 minutes later, and I read it, and I had tears in my eyes. It was actually literary genius. So she handed that portfolio in, like Trish said, and that was the end of any questions about further testing, right? Alexandra in grade 12, so she grade 11, how old was she? She was about, I think she was 16. Yeah, she just got her driver's license because she wrote that car off. And I went in with her. And I think it was the VP of the school sat down with us and he was sort of looking at me and I said, well, no, it's her. And he said, so, okay, you want to get into baking? And she said, yeah. He says, well, what happens if that doesn't work out for you? Do you have a plan? She said, well, I really, you know, I play the violin and I think maybe I'd like to pursue that and teach violin, right? And he was just amazed. And so then he just conversed with her. And by the end of it, he was saying, you know, I can do the paperwork for you guys and you can apply to have the education funds from that region applied here. And so it won't cost you anything. And if she wants to do her grade 12 courses here with our teachers, she can stay late after the baking and pastry is done and finish up that other grade 12 course, right? Not because of me, it was because of her, right? And so I was starting to, you know, I was starting to click, okay, I can let go, right? I can just let go of this. So I, you know, some of you may be feeling that pressure. Like, I've got to keep doing it because we're so entwined in their education. But really, what I've learned is I had to let them go. And if they couldn't make it happen on their own, they weren't ready, right? They just weren't ready. Let them take a year off. Let them do whatever. But until they're willing to take that initiative and do that thing, make it happen for themselves, it's probably not the time for them. What we do have to do for them and what our role is the whole transcript thing, which we were saved in our family because that was Trish's area. So anyway, is there any further questions on okay. She continued grade 12 at home. I think she had a math and a biology to do. But this is the girl that Trish, like, I don't know how old she was. All of a sudden she realized, this is up to me. And so she would get up before breakfast, 7 o'clock, she was up hitting the books, right? And so she continued her grade 12 at home, but she did, like, it was 6 hours a day, I think. And she had to drive in all the way from Blumenort to wherever Red River is there. I mean, Louis Riel on off of Lage, yeah, whatever it is. Anyway, way down there. They were totally okay, and especially because of how she presented herself, right? So.
No, that's what we're here for.
Our second daughter in grade 7 thought she might like to go to school for recess and gym.
And the bus ride.
Oh, the bus ride, yeah. But not literally. We never had a fight with them. Never. But when they were little, if they were all playing downstairs in the basement, right, Trish would just let them play all morning, right? They're getting along, all 5 of them, right on, right? And they always did get along for the most part because Trish is a very strict disciplinarian. Go ahead. Oh, with apprenticeship. Caleb, in the short. Once again, the more that you document what they did, right? So documentation, transcripts, but all the way along, like our kids all helped out at the Blumenort EMC with their mom's morning out, taking care of the kids. All 5 of them did it. And now Zara's still doing it. She's 18. They don't know what they're going to do if she, whatever. Anyway, all that's documented, and it goes a long way when you're telling how your kids were educated. If they have any community service, babysitting, any of those kind of things are of great value to remember how much they did it, right? If you document those things throughout those grade 9 to 12, and then mechanics. So Caleb grew up, like Trish said, you know, blowing up snow machines. I put an engine in a snow machine. I said, Caleb, take it out, right? But just take it easy at first and then see what it can do. He goes across the road and he holds it to the bar. And I thought, oh, no, it's not even warmed up yet. Sure enough, all of a sudden, whing, there goes a piston, right? So all these kind of things, rebuilding engines. He worked on a dairy farm with his buddy. Right, all these things, if you keep track of them, because it's amazing how much you can just sort of forget, right, over the years. Keep track of these kind of things that aren't directly out of a textbook, and they'll all go toward any future job or education that they decide to pursue.
Everyone that we know that has a child that's gone through an apprenticeship, either through MITT or through Louis Riel School Division, because they're homeschoolers, they've actually had a really positive response, and the school is very helpful. I would say you should probably reach out before August 30th if you want them in for September. Lots of these mums, especially for their sons, did that, sort of like, hey, you know, you're hitting that grade 8 area, and you're thinking you might want to do mechanics or construction or cabinetry or whatever, those mums with their sons, I'm not saying daughters can't do it. My experience is just with my friends who have boys, because I only have one boy. And they, MITT especially, was super helpful. And they almost bent over backwards for some of these moms, because my perception is that they think that homeschoolers are self-learners. So I've only heard positive things.
What grade 8? Like, what do you mean?
When so the boys are in grade 8, the moms reached out, like, sort of like, how do we plan for grade 9 and then apprenticeship beyond? Like, and so this MITT said, if you're thinking of cabinetry, these are some things that would go, that would help you get into an apprenticeship. So, yeah, so they work them through their high school time. I beg your pardon? Manitoba Institute Institute of Technology, Trades and Technology. I knew there was another T in there, sorry. Yeah, we, a long time ago, this shows how long, the homeschooling office used to sort of write a letter saying these kids haven't gone through the Manitoba curriculum, but they've done everything set out by their parents. They've since stopped doing that, and I thought it would help my kids to, like, sort of, like, to have backup, and they never needed it, and... Okay, so I spent a lot of time when my kids were going through high school, like going through the Manitoba education program, sort of like, what do my kids need? Finding a way to record your physical education is probably the hardest, unless you're involved in a homeschool group or if your kids have a gym membership. So I started trying to make sure that the curriculum that the high school was teaching was what I was teaching, and then I realized it was an effort in futility for me. Instead, that's when I started recording, when they take anatomy and physiology through Apologia, this is what they've learned. And so I made my kids photocopied the table of contents or the scope of the course, and they put it in their box so that if they applied to wherever and someone said, well, what does Apologia, anatomy, and physiology cover? I could say, oh, let me tell you, you know, molecular science or whatever it was. But no one ever asked for that.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly. Yep. How creative are you? Because I would, like, for me, I'm like, if I saw that they might need it in grade 12 and I had put it in grade 11, I switched it to grade 12 because it's what they needed. I didn't feel I was being dishonest because my kids did it, but to make them go do another science to meet a grade 12 requirement that they'd already accomplished in grade 10, to me was ridiculous. And the other thing I did, I made my kids keep a list of all the books they read. That sounds really mean, but it really was helpful because I have a daughter that loves anatomy and she buys like health books and anatomy textbooks for fun. That's it with a question mark for me, but it, her idea of fun, but man, to go to university, it sure paid off because everything was listed there. She could say, like, I've already done, like, zoology and this and that. And so, yeah, I would, you're your child's best advocate, and if you can help them, because you're not lying for them, they've done the work, make it work, make your transcript work for your child. And I shouldn't say child, you're adult, because chances are they are an adult.
And the thing that I realized, you know, going through with the five of them was that, and especially considering what a university or post-education institution is going to require, they're really after, they just want to be able to check a box. That's what they want, right? And so there's, like, Trish has this little sheet here, but it's you can I'm sure you can go on the Googles and figure it out, like what credits you need in each area. But you can really just decide how you want to apply a mark and did they cover it or not. The main thing that we're trying to do with our kids is give them a broad enough education or a specific enough one that they can succeed in the thing that they want to step into next. The whole transcript and stuff is just a necessary evil. That's all it is. Like, it's not a good thing. It's just like, you got to make that step, right? It's like the manure's got to come out of the barn. Like, you know. That portfolio was specific. Oh, just wondering about the portfolio, if that came from all the things that our eldest daughter had done from grade 9 on. The portfolio was actually directly related to the program that she was going into, and it was jobs she had to do. It wasn't actually taking anything she had done. She had to do, part of it was photography, she had to do some photos, and then part of it was a writing component. And yeah, so the portfolio wasn't things that she did to try to prove to get in, it was, here's what you need to do, right? Am I correct in that, or did she have to give some other stuff? There was an interview as well, yeah. That isn't required. Like, you don't have to keep the specifics of your testing or anything like that. They want a grade, and they want to know you've covered those things, most post-secondary education institutions. That's what they want. And so you can take a load off there. But as Trish said, the more organized you are, and if you have an easy way to access what they learned in each year, in each program, if they ask for further things, you can prove it. And depending who you get in what institution, they can ask for proof, right? And so the more you are organized and keep throughout those years, the better, right? Just for ease of access in the future. But all that said, it's just about the acceptance letter, right? And all this stuff is just about making sure they can get in and pursue whatever they want to through that avenue.
I kept everything from their first day of math. Like, you should see, I have a wall of binders, like, of everything my kids have ever done. When we move, I'm going to cry. It would have been easy for me because I kept everything. I'm not advocating you do that, especially not in kindergarten. But if you see something in your child, like a strength or a passion, I wouldn't be afraid to keep a few things because they're going to be the ones that do maybe an interview, or they're going to be the ones that are involved. They have to sell themselves. And if they can come and say, I loved whatever, and this is something I'm really proud of, I don't think it's going to hurt. So the question is about unit studies versus specific courses. When the kids, I utilized a lot of unit studies, Konos and Sunlight. We always did a math program, and I always did a science program. I always did a spelling program. And we did unit studies. Sometimes my kids thought I was nuts, but it was so fun. It was interesting how lots of those unit studies really helped them in the high school years. I think I read to them a lot. So don't be afraid. And it's, again, you can make your child's transcript what you need it to be. And if a unit study shows something that they've accomplished, hydroponics or something, then use it. Go ahead. It certainly wouldn't be a harm, but if it's an extra step, I'm a little on the lazy side. So I wouldn't, but that's just me.
Well, I'm not 100%. Well, the problem with, how should I put this? We have a great deal of autonomy in Manitoba right now. And as you're coming to the end of the high school years, it would be nice to be able to have an official document stamped by some institution or some organization that you just hand over and, oh, we accept it, you're in, right? That would be great. I thought, oh, that would be great if we could have that. And then talking with Gerald and a few people and about these kind of things, I realized the autonomy we have is actually a very fragile thing. And as soon as we allow one body to determine if we've succeeded in home education, we've now taken a giant step forward to being legislated and therefore at some point giving up our freedom and our autonomy, right? So it's actually a good thing that we don't have that kind of a rubber stamp, right? And of any overseeing body being able to say, yes, they've acquired the proper education to be able to go on. First of all, it's impossible for someone like Matches to do that because nobody that could be part of Matches could know what you did with your education, right? You can say you did whatever, but your kids might never have cracked a book, right? So it's impossible for someone to do it. You're the only ones who can actually say what your kids learned, right? And that is actually a good thing. So if you keep track of everything they've done throughout those grade 9 to 12, that's great. You can prove that you did do those things to whatever degree. But the main thing, once again, is your child is ready for that next step. They're a young adult. And the confidence that they have, because, you know, home education is basically just a fantastic way to walk with your children in character development, right? It's definitely not that they're perfect. It's what do they do when they get into conflict with each other. It's what do they do when they don't feel like doing math, and then so they tell you they did, and then you find out that they don't know what they're doing. How are we going to move on from here, right? You know, and it can happen in many ways. Like, just a little humorous story. When I guess our son was maybe 5, 6 years old, and then 4 and 2 or whatever, 5 and whatever. There, we had a hot tub in the basement of this house, and we had cats. And all of a sudden, there was a couple kittens that were one, I forget how many. Anyways, there was a kitten almost drowned and totally wet, and I found out, and I said, what happened there? Oh, it just fell in, or forget, I forget what the story was. And then the Anna, our second youngest daughter, confessed that, well, that wasn't what happened. We stuck it in there, right? Well, Caleb had sworn her to secrecy. So it was a character development time, right? It wasn't about, like, drown the cat. What do I care, right? Like, they're just for target practice. Anyway. Oh, things I'm supposed to think, not see. Okay. Okay. But it was you. Here's a big problem here, Caleb. You just convinced your sister to lie to me, right? And there might even been some corporal punishment there. I'm not, can't remember, but it's a good chance. But it's those things, but it's also, you know, the character of, it's all character development. We're with them day in and day out, and we have that opportunity. And that is so much more important than actually the schooling part of it, right? It's the overall education that we have this opportunity to give them, and we have this opportunity in Manitoba to do that with a great level of autonomy. No, we didn't. And nobody's going to ask you that, because how can you prove it anyway, right? Once again, the goal is that your child is well prepared to take that next step. And who's more desirous of them succeeding than you, right? So it's not about can you get away with less? It's are you well prepared, right? You want to do your role to prepare them, and then part of that role is documenting what they did. But
But it is a pressure to do that. I probably felt that more with my first and second than I did with my later ones. But I tell you, I have done grade one math 6 times. I did it with myself, and then did it with my kids. And so by the time I got to high school with my kids, I'd done high school 6 times. I wasn't worried about the hours anymore. But we put the work in, and sometimes there's tears, and sometimes it's just success. So, yeah. I knew what they wanted, but I took myself off the hook very easily, and I just sort of met. They wanted language arts. Whatever they wanted, I did. And our homeschool papers that you submit to the government, those are the core subjects that basically that the government wants upon graduation. And I did those every year. So I didn't. And I didn't worry about it. I mean, I did with the first one. I felt tremendous pressure to be, have a really good transcript, and did I do enough, and am I a good teacher, and all of that. By the fifth one, I had these amazing students that were self-motivated and knew what they wanted, and I really was their secretary. It was quite amazing. But not specifically to keep track that there's 6 credits in that and 3 in that. I figure if they did a whole year of biology, now they got a whole lot more than 3 credits.
Yeah, so in summation, I guess, at the end of the day, the transcript thing is just a government requirement. It's a step. As home-educated children, we've been their advocate, right? We want them to succeed. So to have to face the pressure of making sure that we have specifically done everything on the transcript is a burden that you don't have to carry. Look at it, and especially specific requirements for an apprenticeship or for someone that wants to go in a specific direction with a further education, make sure that you incorporate them in there so that they're prepared, right? But you're their advocate. You're the one that wants them to succeed way more than anybody in that education institute does, right? So, you know, keep the records. It's very valuable. The more you do, the better. But don't face that pressure of, or try not to buckle under that pressure that you have to do it for them. You're doing it for them is helping them develop their character and, you know, making sure that they do wash the dishes even when they don't want to. And if they got a ratty little attitude, call them on that attitude. But at the same time you're calling them on it, the question is, okay, Lord, when do I show that ratty little attitude help, right? So anyway, it is a great opportunity, and you guys should know that what you're doing has great value. It has great value for now and for eternity, and you can do it. It's just, there's no specific way to do it right. It's just to do it, right? It's relationship. So thanks for listening to us ramble on at times and share our experiences with you to encourage you. The biggest thing we can give you is the keep on going, do it, and it will be worth it. So we're also going to be just outside the door here at the Mentor Center for the next couple hours. So if you have questions that you think of over the next couple hours, feel free to come and talk to us. We'll be there. And just before we take off, I'll just pray. Father, I just want to thank you for just your great love for us and for the gift of family and the gift of being able to educate our kids here in Manitoba. To that end, Jesus, I ask that you would continue to walk with us as we strive to see this freedom continue. Lead us and guide us. And Lord, I ask for your hand to be upon each one here to encourage them and to strengthen them for the days ahead and the years ahead as they continue to accept this great opportunity and challenge to educate their kids at home and raise them up to be those who fear you and love you and are a benefit to our society and just really know your name and declare it. And so, Jesus, we ask you for your hand upon us and as we go, and that you would protect us and lead us and guide us in this great adventure of home education. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this recording, which was sponsored by The Learning House. For more information on The Learning House, you can visit their website at learninghouse.ca.